You tattoo here at Lady Liberty Tattoo.
Thank you.
We'll get into that a little bit later. How, like, where did art start for you, I guess?
Yeah, early on. I've been creating, drawing. I love that we share this, just drawing since we were kids. I got early memories of just trying to figure out what's in my head on a paper. Five and six, I know I've got drawings from then that my grandma saved and gave me, and those are super,
What are
super
they
cool.
of?
I have one that makes me laugh. It's like stick figures, but they're kind of disassembled. And I'm like, why do you? I'm concerned for
Maybe
myself back then.
this was
I
they
don't know. There's
were.
like a stretcher too. I'm wondering because I
Oh,
broke my leg when I was six. So I'm
oh.
like, I think it's from when I went to the doctor and I.
Flashbacks came off.
I don't know, but I remember that. Otherwise, it's like scenery. I would draw like different rooms and kind of place the furniture.
Oh, that's cool.
I don't know, like, yeah, I love details, just sitting and figuring out details. Yeah, my brother and I were in foster care, and so just having a lot of instability in our life, I think we both craved something where we could just sit and exist and be, and we would get lost in creating whatever it was, whether it was drawing, we'd build stuff out of paper. And he was more creative with that stuff. He'd like build shoes out of paper,
Oh,
like moccasins. I remember the
wow. Really?
moccasins.
Dang, that's
Dang.
pretty sweet.
Yeah, I wasn't that intense with 3D stuff, but I did make like little bear ears that I taped to my hair. Yeah, so just like always been there. It's always been like a place of retreat, of calm, and just joy for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you like always keep drawing as you grew older, or did you take breaks or?
Yeah, I did. I think in high school,
Boys.
I had two boyfriends. I did draw in high school, but it was like it kind of veered off because I, as a young kid, I was drawing like game stuff because my dad would we would play board games and stuff, and we had friends that did like Dungeons and Dragons. So
Oh,
I
yeah.
was always kind of like, I guess my first commissions were for
Yeah.
free.
Yeah.
I would just ask people what they want me to draw, and I would draw whatever my friends would want.
That's
And then
cool.
later in high school, it was just kind of more so doodles during class because that would help me focus.
Yeah, I know
I don't know,
exactly what you
just
mean.
doodling in the corner. I would draw like we would print out buddy of mine would print out car silhouettes and we would kind of design our own vinyls and draw
Oh,
those.
that's
That was
cool.
super
That's super
fun.
cool. I think I did that too. Just
Yeah.
trying to like design my own
Just make it look
little lowrider
sweet.
S10.
Oh,
Yeah,
Yeah.
with the cab on the
And
back.
I did draw a tribal, you'd be proud, like
What?
on some of the car decals.
That's cool.
Or
Heck
graffiti lettering I
yeah.
did for fun in high school. Yeah, and then when college came, I had drawing classes because I wanted to do something creative and art when I finally got to college.
Did you know exactly what you wanted to do at that point, or just go that direction?
I knew I wanted to be in something that was creative. I just really wanted to use creativity and art and the ability to draw just whatever it was moving forward. I also didn't want to be a starving artist. So I was like, I'm not going to be a fine artist because in my head, that's what that was. And I just didn't think you could do much with fine art. And then the only other option at the college I went to that was like creative arts was graphic design. So I chose that one because I thought like, well, that's like a ladder I could climb and that seems like something that could help me live.
What other options that they have, like that maybe you could have made money at? Were there any?
Not creatively, is a super small school. It's Northwestern, just here in Minnesota. And so that was like the only two little veins that I could pick
Fine
from.
art or graphic design?
Yeah.
Yeah, pick one
Yeah.
or the
But
other,
I did
buddy.
love computers as a kid. Like my dad was a computer programmer,
Oh, okay.
and we always had like, Adobe Photoshop on hand and just
That's
like
awesome.
access to computer stuff. Yeah. So yeah. I played with Photoshop in like fifth and sixth grade.
Oh, nice.
When it was like, you know, the CD discs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you'd open the, yes, the DVD.
I remember those days.
We had those. And you could flip through because they had multiple CDs for the like creative suite.
Oh,
that's funny.
And Photoshop was in there. So I did.
For fonts 500 through 750, insert disc 5.
I take it. Yeah. All the thinking sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just there was always, I was always trying to find anything and everything I could do creatively. So I just, if it was through technology, if it was through drawing, whatever it was, building forts, it didn't matter as long as I was trying to be creative.
Going back to when like you first started drawing at five or six.
Yeah.
Did you see something that sparked that interest, or was it just like, I have nothing else to do, so I'll just...
Yeah, I think it was more so the latter. We literally, like, in all of our moves, it was over a dozen moves before I was six. And so I had like a backpack and then a blanket that would come with me, so paper was always accessible. And pencils, and that was like what I had.
I can kind of picture that, like, here, little girl, here's a pencil and some paper.
Here's printer paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, printer paper. Wow. My grandma would take care of us in between homes on and off, and she was like an admin assistant or secretary for some fancy-smancy Wells Fargo person. I don't know. It might not be Wells Fargo, but all I know is she always had like office supplies. She didn't have toys. She had. She did get toys for us eventually, like the big Lego blocks and stuff, but like
these don't hurt when I step on them.
That's probably what she thought.
These are soft for my feet.
I can punt them. So yeah, just paper, pencil. Here you go.
Wow, man, that's interesting.
After you finished college, then did you kind of pursue graphic arts or graphic design? I guess
I did. Yeah. So in college, I made a point to not live on campus. I didn't want to have roommates. I've always been kind of a really independent person. I did learn how to work with people in college because of assignments and, you know, all of that. But made sure I just wanted to be independent. So finishing graduation and leaving college, I really wanted to freelance. That was appealing to me because there was that level of independence. I did have a little time where I was like weighing between, do I want to try to climb a corporate ladder or do I want to try to start something from the ground up? And that's kind of where I landed. So I started freelancing right after college, doing websites and logos and branding, and really enjoyed it. But then I lost, I just missed like the tangible aspect of drawing on paper and creating with my hands, because I was always on the computer working for clients. So yeah, after a time, I think after my dad had passed away, I just took some time off from the screen and started creating art and really diving headfirst into illustrating and lettering, and kind of really loved Microns. That's kind of about the time I picked up a Micron. It was about 2016 and I started drawing with Micron. So that's kind of how I, when I took art seriously, it was about that time. Like, oh, I could make, I could actually sell my art and sell prints and not just do the graphic design work.
So then up like until then, you knew that you had gone to school for graphic design, but were you, was like your artistic abilities like on paper, was that not like a thing that you were super confident in yet? Or
I was fairly confident in, but it was like, because that was always what carried my design work, was like my illustrative abilities.
Yeah, because you kind of have to start with like sketching and stuff, right?
Like thumbnails, and just kind of like, if you can't create anything with your hands, then what you're going to make on the screen is probably going to look like crap. Unless you want it to look really digital.
Yeah.
But I've just always loved taking that tactile element and bringing it into the digital,
mm-hmm.
and kind of a lot of my processes for brand projects was going back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
a lot of the logos I did always, they like had hand mm-hmm. illustrated elements.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
it almost in a weird way, like at the time you had no idea, but it really is a lot of building blocks to like help you do what you're doing now.
Yeah.
So many things that like you can take and put right into this.
Yeah, it starts with like a loose sketch, like you're just fleshing it out, and mm-hmm. then you just keep refining it until it's in the final
thing. And even with like the graphic design stuff, like I have a small background in graphic design, but a lot of that translates over. Like if I'm trying to draw something, I can kind of take some elements and blend them and kind of get an idea for it first, and it seems like everything just kind of led you exactly to where you needed to be.
Yeah, that's been crazy. I will say, I because I had friends in high school that would always say you should, and you've seen them because they've come in and gotten tattoos.
Yeah,
and they'd always say, Anna, you should become a tattoo artist. And I never like ever was like ever going to be a pursuit for my own personal journey. I think that's where I lacked confidence, because I just never thought that would be something that was even an option, because in my head, like, that's so far out of reach or so hard.
Yeah. I guess too, it depends on like, well, what does that even mean? Because I think I can remember a time where it was like, you just pick stuff off the wall and that was it. You didn't really ask somebody to draw something for you. But then the dude who did my first tattoo actually saw some of his drawings. It was like, oh, you're like a legit artist.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, that's super cool. So it was, probably if we were hearing that, then it was like, okay, what does that look like?
Was it a world at all that like intrigued you, or was it, it just didn't align?
Yeah, I got my first tattoo right after my 18th birthday, and it's a massive dragon on my, like, I wanted that really badly.
Yeah.
I never thought that would be something I could do.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, my older, I think that was one of the questions that's on the lineup, but was like, my older brother, who's a couple of years older than me, he got a tattoo on his forearm. And I remember him coming home with that. He actually asked me to draw it, so he brought that to an artist and they made it perfect and better, which I think is also why I thought I could never do it, because people would ask me to create illustrations or tattoos that they would bring to an artist, but it would always, they'd have to fix it.
When would that have been, like, how
high
old?
School.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, like all,
that's kind of cool.
My friends who are 18, like some of them have come in, they've asked me to draw some of, and they have them.
Mm-hmm.
They're just way better than what I gave them as a 17-year-old.
Well, and you didn't know how to draw a tattoo at that time. So it's not even that it was better. It was just maybe more suitable for
they
a tattoo.
They knew. Mm-hmm. And I knew that, because I say, it's okay if they change it. Yeah. I don't know. Like, just take it. Like, this is not very good. just take it. I don't know. If they can make it happen, cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, but my older brother came home and showed me like the cross that he got. It's like a Celtic knot cross here, and I'm like, that's really cool. I want one.
Mm.
And so I was like, okay, when I'm 18, I'm gonna get a dragon with a lotus flower. So
how did that go? Like, was it a walk-in thing, or did you schedule an appointment, or
But I've always been like, I'm just gonna go figure this out. Like, so I found, like, it was Fluid Ink on Snelling.
Yep.
I lived in Roseville, so I was like, okay, I've seen that one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I've seen. I've ever driven by. Like,
when was this?
How old? So I graduated high school in 2007.
Okay.
So it would have been 2007, 2008.
I wonder if Beloved was there, because you would have driven right by them. But they were like, you know, that overpass, the bridge that goes over Como.
Yep.
They were like down there. So it was you kind of had to know that they were there.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That's cool. If I had known, I maybe would have stopped by both.
Yeah.
Because I love, like, what's the better deal?
Right.
It
would not have been Beloved.
No. I'm glad I made the good choice. It still was a lot of money for me, though.
Yeah.
I was young. But walked in and was like, this is what I'm thinking. And I walked into another one. I got a friend of mine to drive me somewhere.
Hmm.
And it felt sketchy, and I didn't feel safe.
Mm. Maybe it's the one that I worked at.
I don't know. it was like a small hole in the wall type place.
In
St.
Paul?
St. Paul or Minneapolis? I don't know. It's like kind of, I don't remember all the details, but I just remember they're like, okay, we're here. And I get out and I remember asking questions and saying, I want this. And he's like, okay, I'll draw it up. Come back whenever. We'll schedule another date for you to come back and we'll do it and check it out. So I came back. I did not like his drawing.
Is this the hole in the wall?
This is the random hole in the wall.
Oh, whoa.
And I was like, I don't like this. What do you say? And I was like, is this big? And I told him, like, I want a big dragon. He's like, this is your first big tattoo.
Oh, okay.
You shouldn't get a big one. I'm like, no, I want it big. Mm-hmm. You didn't listen to me. Mm-hmm. Like, let me at least try, you know? I don't know. Like, let me try. If it doesn't work out, then I'll back out. I don't know.
I'll leave with a leg.
It's fine. I totally would have been fine with it because I'm like creative. You can fix it. You can
do it. I mean, that's kind of an oldish school. You know, that wasn't that long ago, but that is like the process. Like, yeah, I know you want your full back done.
Yeah.
But get a small one first. That's pretty standard, I guess.
I guess I was a jerk. I don't know. But
well, you knew what you wanted.
Know if I'm going to go in and I tell them I want something big, like at least if I'm going to be willing to pay, at least give me a chance to try to work through it. Mm-hmm. And then I also was like, I think I could draw a better one than that, which also made me feel like I should go check somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So that's how I ended up at the other one. And I loved his drawing, and it was, you know, his big as I wanted, and then we scheduled like the appointment.
So you did have a drawing that you took to the second guy?
I did, but I told him like, I know this isn't what at all. Mm. Like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I just wanted something like this.
And he's like, a reference.
That's great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because back then we didn't have Pinterest or like barely had Google images. Mm-hmm. So I just sketched it out. Yeah. He was like, I know this is trash compared to what I've seen on your walls. So
probably gave him a good idea of where to go, though.
And it did, yeah. And then he made it amazing, and I still love it. It's like 18 years old. I don't know. Math. I don't know.
Yeah. You got it in 07? Or when you were 18?
Yeah, 18, yeah.
Yeah. That's the right math. Did he change it much from your drawing?
Yeah. Oh, okay. And I totally signed with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was, he explained some, like, why and everything, and that made me feel really good. Like, okay, this is going to be good, because I know that what I gave him was not going to be for a tattoo. Mm-hmm. And I think that experience also, like, just affirmed, like, oh, you're not meant for, you know, like, you can't, this isn't for you. So that just, it was never on the table for me pursuing tattooing, but I was super stoked about getting a tattoo. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool. It was 3 sessions and...
Nice. Where did it transition to? Obviously, you said that it's just was so far out where it was like back burner or whatever. Where did that kind of start to creep in to the forefront?
Yeah. The interesting thing is people kept asking me to draw for them to bring to tattoo artists. So that's always been there. Mm-hmm. So I think my art style has, like, I've always been attracted to tattoos. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always drawing in a way where that's kind of in mind when I'm drawing. Mm-hmm. So that's just been something that's always happened. But it never, ever was at the forefront until I was at an event where I was speaking, sharing my story at an anti-trafficking event. And then I had sat down. And then someone from the BCA went up to speak, and he was sharing just local survivor stories and stings that they've done and how they've helped serve the women and help their lives get better. And so he kind of touched on the 2 stories that he was sharing. The women had needed cover-ups, and one woman, they flew to California. And then the other woman, they flew to Chicago. And I'm sitting here like...
Interesting.
why? Like, why we have so many people here in the Twin Cities? That just seemed kind of funny. So I chatted with him after, and he said, that's just where the connections are. That's like where the people are that are, that we know that are going to help these women. And I just felt like I'm a praying person. I have strong faith, and I really felt and believed that God was telling me, like, you could probably, like, pursue this. And I thought that was super crazy and random and, like, not, God, not for me.
Yeah.
But I just remember thinking, like, okay, if that's for me, I will take steps forward in faith and then just see where it leads, and I'll just wait for the door to slam shut. And I was kind of expecting that, or just, like, more of a, like, I was expecting it to be really hard. And I'm really grateful for knowing, I know Rhiannon and his wife, and so that was kind of how it started. I was just sitting down with her, saying, hey, I really think this is the direction that I really feel we're being led for the nonprofit, so we can help service these women and just give them cover-ups for their brands, and give them the opportunity to have a new story on their skin. Because that, yeah, tattoos are forever, and for them to have to remember that part of their life, I just, that's got to be really hard. So so that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah, and you'd been involved with, like, your nonprofit and everything before tattooing. This was kind of an afterthought to
talk about that.
Yeah, that, like, what year we founded and launched in 2019, and we were founded in, like, 17, because it was the year after my dad had passed away. And I just was like, I want to do something more purposeful. Like, I want to help people, and I want to use my art to help people. That was the other thing, like, I want to use creativity to help people. And that's part of my story. So we were in foster care. We just had a rough life. It was in foster care due to, like, sexual abuse with my dad, and, you know, more crap happened similar like that. And actually was a trafficking survivor. I'm a trafficking survivor, and so being able to take every piece of my past and now use it for purpose, and I think, like, just creative arts has always been my tool. So that's why and how our nonprofit was founded. It was just based on my story and the ability to create, and I think the power of creativity and what it can do for people. So yeah, that's kind of how that started, and now we're doing great stuff. I don't know, do you want me to
how far do I go? What do you do when you're not here?
When I'm not here, we do I do a lot, and I'm at my computer a lot too, because I have to do all the admin stuff too for it. But we do outreach once a month, and so we're going to strip clubs and bringing the women gifts, and just, I think, knowing that there is an overlap. Now, not every woman in those spaces are being trafficked, but there is an overlap, and some of those women are, or definitely are, at risk. And so that's why we're going into that space and just being, building connection, so that if they end up in a situation, or find that they are in a situation, because a lot of times victims don't even know that they're being trafficked, because they just don't have the language for what that is.
Yeah, and especially, I guess, too, it kind of, like, somehow slowly just becomes the norm. And then, before you, until you get the chance to look back, you're like, just like growing up in an unstable thing. It's like, I thought that's just how it was supposed to be.
It was normal. But it was normal.
So then you're like, oh, that's not normal.
That's
understandable.
So, and that's been really fruitful, as we've had women, you know, reach out and being able to connect them to what their needs are. And that's been great. And I think just knowing that we're letting them know they're seen, valued, and loved, you know, in a place where maybe they don't feel that way is really, really meaningful. That's one aspect of our organization, one program. And then we do creative art workshops mm-hmm. where we are using Creative Arts, usually watercolors as our supply, but just leading people through certain workshops, kind of bullet pointed guidelines, I guess, where they can process trauma in a safe place, heal from it, and just work through it using Creative Arts. And that's been really, really great and impactful. We've been able to partner with some really neat organizations locally, and we're starting to build relationship with the correctional facilities here in on the east side of the cities, and hoping that they can assist us in branching those workshops kind of across the metro.
What does a workshop look like?
I just love like setting it up. So it's like, I like picking the place and finding a place that we can facilitate where it feels great and peaceful. And then we have their tables and stations set out, and we'll set a packet of our workbook on that place with watercolors, brushes, everything they need. And then I'm kind of leading it or facilitating it. So I'm standing and saying, okay, welcome. This is our Recreated Heart is the biggest one that we have. And I just do a little intro, and then we dive in. There's five little steps that we work through. And it starts off with music and meditation. And then the next one is painting your, not necessarily trauma, but a word associated to it. So let's say you have this innate belief that you are broken. That would be what you're painting. So when we tell them, like, that first piece represents, that piece of paper represents your heart. So what you're painting is like this belief that you've just kind of stored in here. And that is can be emotional for people, because they're like seeing it and they're coming face to face with it, or they'll paint their trauma with the word, just kind of really open-ended. And then step three is another like meditation, listening to some music, reflection, and then just reminding them, like, well, what's the antidote of that, because that's going to be the next painting we're going to do. So the opposite, the antonym, which is the antidote technically for that wound, is how I word it. So then that second piece of paper, they paint that opposite word. And that's usually where I have to like hand out tissues and, you know, work with people. And I encourage them, because it's like a safe place. So like raise your hand if you need any help, and I'm there to guide you through like the emotions of that. Because that can be really, I've seen like grown men, 30 something year olds just cry and have to step out, but I will walk out with them. And so that's the fourth step, is painting the antidote, the antonym. And then the fifth step, we encourage, and I never force or like make people do this step, because I don't believe that anyone is forced to discard, you know, a belief. Like, it's a choice. And so the fifth step is discarding the lie, or just the the negative belief about yourself. It's not saying the trauma didn't happen, but the belief about yourself that maybe that spoke over you, we'll discard that. So most of the, I don't even tell people to tear it up, but they just like rip that to shreds and then just like throw it in the trash.
Is there like a, is there something to that? Like a, I guess like a studied thing that that works?
Yeah.
Because I saw that on Instagram the other day.
Yeah.
It was like this dude, I can't remember his name, but he was just like, something write that, write it down three times and throw that shit away.
I believe it does.
And I'm like,
do it.
So the, you know, now hearing that, I'm like, well, I wonder if there's something to that.
And I think I know that tying some tangible action to something that's internal helps you believe like that it can happen, like it can change the way you think. The whole workshop is based on how I learned to heal from all the trauma that I walked through. So for me, the workshop is like a really slowed down version of the internal battle that we can play in our minds, of that like negative positive thoughts. And I mm-hmm. think when we start to think negative, it's easy, because I've been there, it's easy to spiral.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. for sure.
And just, like, be in the pit of, like, mm-hmm. self-loathing yeah. and just, like, I'm the worst. Mm. So for me, it's, like, just helping people slow that thinking down. That's kind of what that space provides. Mm-hmm. And because you're doing it in guided steps. And then at the end, that's what I tell them. I said, like, you've just learned how to go to battle in your own mind. Mm-hmm. And so next time you're in that space of negative thinking or just, like, believing lies about who you are and just, like, your identity, like your heart identity, mm-hmm. You can think back to the workshop and mm-hmm. and slow your thinking down and just say, like, okay, what is a lie? What is a truth? What comes from my trauma? What comes from, like, my innate value? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's really it. I mean, it's helped. I've had people email me and message me back after those workshops mm-hmm. and hearing the impact that it's had on people is just, it's really special. Mm-hmm. And I just am like, I'm really glad I can give that mm-hmm. back.
Yeah, it's definitely like offering healing through art.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's super cool.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I'm sure in a way too, you're helping other people and that probably helps you more than you even like can understand. Yeah.
There's so much joy mm-hmm. that comes with that. And I think for anyone who's has struggled or struggles with mental health, like when you have walked deep in dark depression, like, you know, in my background, being in foster care, being mm-hmm. abused, trafficked, all these things. I was so depressed at the time. Mm-hmm. I was suicidal. And so knowing that I have this joy that I'm helping people like mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
And it's using a gift that you have kind of fostered since you were 5 years old, which is probably because you could be like, well, I just am book smart so I can help people. But you're using something that comes from you, so that's mm-hmm. even more special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Probably like more fun, I would say. And you're like, yeah, not only am I helping people, but kind of getting to use my gift as well. Yeah.
It's rewarding. But mm-hmm. I find that even in this space too, because mm-hmm. like sitting with clients and like hearing their stories and the meaning behind their tattoo, and just mm-hmm. so I'm finding that same level of connection with people and that same joy of like purpose, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even our conversations with people can be so impactful. Like I've had some people even just say like, thank you for I'm gonna cry.
I had a dude, this was years ago, he was an older guy, and I don't remember if I shared this on one of our podcasts already, but it was kind of awkward because I don't think I had started hearing like mm-hmm. how important this stuff can be to people yet. But I was doing this tattoo and he's like, you know what, it's going to sound really weird, but it's just kind of nice to be touched. And at first I'm like, ugh. But I think he was like, you know, my wife and I, and he was older, or maybe he had lost his wife or something. But now knowing that like, that's one of the, like the 7 things that our hearts need, like that, mm-hmm. that we as people need is physical touch. They're just like, dang, that's so simple. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously I have to touch you to tattoo you, but now you're getting more than just the tattoo from being mm-hmm. here. And that's like, that's almost like a crazy byproduct of doing this thing. Like, whoa, this is actually healing.
It's kind of sacred. Yeah, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is kind of like some sacred ground in here.
It was my client yesterday. He even said that. He's like, dude, this is kind of like an intimate thing. And again, not to make that weird, but it's like, it actually is. And because he was saying, like, he was talking about the experience that people can have and mm-hmm. how that can be a negative thing mm-hmm. if it's not taken care of and respected. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of an intimate thing. And like, if it's kind of taken advantage of or just treated poorly, then that can really suck.
Yeah.
For a person.
Yeah. So I've had some people who've come and they want to come back because they had a negative experience at the first, wherever they first got tattooed.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that really, like, that changed it for them. And they're like, I just want to be
here
because I feel respected and cared for and it feels safe. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Yeah, that's great. And, you know, obviously we're just a tattoo shop, but I think I try to foster, like, let's just care for people,
yeah.
though, like, yeah. at minimum, you know, mm-hmm. If we can't tattoo them or whatever, if yeah. somebody comes in, they just don't even have socks.
Right.
I think we should just be like, yeah. mm-hmm. let's take you to get some socks.
Right.
Yeah. We're just right. a tattoo shop.
Yeah.
I love that.
So, pick back up at, like, where your work, your organization, mm-hmm. your art, and then how that kind of started the tattoo journey for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Okay. So workshops mm-hmm. and outreach mm-hmm. and yeah. And then now hoping, like, because I'm learning to do, I'm trying my very best mm-hmm. to do cover ups.
Yeah.
And because that's my hope is to get good at that so we can integrate that as a service yeah. to our nonprofit is offering yeah. these cover ups.
Yeah.
to women and building networks with local safe homes or just with the BCA and saying like, hey, we're here and I'm willing and mm-hmm. available. So next time you don't have to fly somebody yeah. out right. upstate. Yeah. So,
right.
So that's kind of where I'm at now. And
yeah,
and, yeah I mean,
where,
you help me
yeah.
with that.
So you and Rhiannon had known each other previously.
Yeah.
So you'd expressed to her then that you just were interested in, did you know that
yeah.
like CM tattooed?
I knew, but I was thinking more like they could
dude,
help.
I'm a tat guy. yeah.
I think for me it was like, I was like, do you know anybody? Like, I was thinking I should mentor under a female too, just like with my own past stuff. Yeah. That was kind of a difficult thing for, I just was like, I don't know if I could work with a male closely. And so she was like, well, I don't know it. Like, we don't know anybody, but I'll talk to CM. So, and then, yeah.
Yeah. So a couple things with that. Tell me what you thought an apprenticeship looked like. Obviously, like, just working directly under anyone other than a female was kind of like off-putting, but was there anything like, oh, they'll probably have me do clean the
no clue
car
no clue
stove or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind
cleaning. don't be mean to me.
Yeah.
Did you have any
I had no clue. It just is like, no, it's all new. It was new territory. And that's why I was like, I think this is a crazy idea. If this is a God idea, like, God, are you sure you know what you're doing? Like, I don't know, you know?
Had you bought the tattoo equipment?
Yes.
So
I was
this
like,
is a common thread. It's not anything to.
So for me, I was like, okay, I need to make a statement to myself. I'm going to just buy one on Amazon. So I did. I had zero plan to use it without
guidance. I'm curious. What was your Amazon search? Tat gun or tat wand?
I think it was like tattoo machine kit. Oh, okay. And then just like,
so at least I wanted the whole language.
I just want the whole thing.
Yeah. It's like, this is a great deal for $150.
And I was comparing like the packages and reading reviews. I did care to read reviews.
This one's pretty.
This tattoo gun is sick.
And I'm a sucker for good packaging.
They're holding it like ink, no gloves.
So the pretty packaging one is the one what is it? Dragon Hawk or something.
Yeah, Dragon Hawk.
I did the same thing, so
ooh,
I feel bad.
It's got like spot foil on the package. As a designer, I like that. I got it shipped to me, opened the box, and I was like, I closed it. Like, this looks, I don't know what this stuff is.
Did you do any?
My husband, every night, you can do it, you should do one. No, I can't. I don't know. What if you die? What if you, like, what if something goes wrong? Mm-hmm. What if we have to amputate? You're like, just anxiety over the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so he convinced me eventually, because if he pokes me enough, I'm just like, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh my God, shut up.
Yes, I'll do it.
So between then and you getting the tat gat, did you do any like YouTube?
Research. Nick and I looked at YouTube videos together.
It looked easy.
It stressed me out. I'm like, I need like in-person guidance. Like,
okay.
And I'm a visual learner, but I need to be able to just like sponge and ask questions, mm-hmm. or like, what are you doing? What are you thinking? Like, because you'll hear me say, like, what's in your head?
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
Right.
Because I need to like try to take that.
I'm thinking
and then, like,
about what I'm gonna have for dinner. In here,
to Chipotle. Right. It all. So yeah, I did a little tiny cross.
Mm-hmm.
Which he showed you when you were at
your
guys' house.
Well, not only that, he showed me the video of it, and I'm like, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Like, except I'm apologizing the whole time.
Yeah. It was a freehand cross, like tiny, and it couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah.
I still couldn't do one today like that. But it was like,
it was too deep.
It was so funny because, like, just watching the video, I think you had the rag over here, and so you just like grabbed the rag and didn't even hold the rag in your hand or anything.
Yeah.
That was funny. So you got your Amazon kit, did a little tattoo.
Tabbed my husband.
And then was that at a point where you're like, I don't know how to do this, so
I think that's soon after we chatted all together, and then we're like, all right, yeah, like this feels good.
Yeah.
And then we had to flesh out the details, like what does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
And all of that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So then, like, I don't know, I guess I'm kind of curious, and I think maybe people watching too, you know, they probably, everyone here or on every episode, it's been like, yep, started on my own, just bought my own stuff, and just, or if you're not, like, we just made one, and
I didn't listen to that.
Use the guitar string. But it's like, well, what does an apprenticeship even look like? And so talk a little bit about, like, maybe your apprenticeship and what fears or excitements or expectations or like, kind of break that down for people.
So I had no clue what to expect, but I have, like, just in my own nature, like just how I am, like I will dive headfirst into a thing and then ask questions later. That's just kind of how I'm built. And so that was kind of how I approached it. I was like, I don't really know, but he'll lay it out. And then I'm just going to be like, yep, I can do this. Like, if it gets hard, I'll try my best to ask for help, which I'm still trying my best to ask for help when needed. But, looking back, I'm like learning how to just even hold the machine. Like, just awkwardly, like, I remember, like, how do I hold this?
That was probably with the pen machine, too.
Yeah, because I started with
that
one.
It's just like, wow, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What angle?
But watching, I loved watching. Like, I really did. And I still love to watch. Like, I'll still peek around and try to see what you're doing. And because that's, like, I'm visual, so I think watching was a big part. But that was kind of part of what we talked about, was like a good chunk of this is going to be watching and then setting things up, and that was really good. Like, I just was so grateful for those parts to play, because if I skipped any of that, I wouldn't, like, you don't get to the next thing unless you do the first thing. So I really appreciated having things laid out so that I could see what was expected of me and needed of me, so that I could just fulfill it.
Yeah.
And then trying to think, like, watching, learning the tribal tracing.
Yeah.
Tracing paper.
What were some of those lessons that you had to do?
Tracing old school tribal with the just tracing paper, and he sent me home with a big stack, and I'm like, it's gonna be fun for me. I'm not gonna lie, like, I kind of like this.
Yeah.
I was trying to inflict a little pain.
He was. But I went home and I'm like, this is so satisfying. Like, it's just so fun.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. So I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And let's see. Just a lot of drawing, too. I think I remember the first thing I sketched out was, you were like, okay, draw an anchor. I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't just, like, drawn something out of my brain in a long time. Here it is.
Yeah. And what was the thing that you learned about what you were drawing before coming into the tattoo world?
Yeah, I had it. had to undo so much thinking. Mm-hmm. And sure. I think that's where that phrase that I asked you is like, what are you thinking? Because there's so much of my own thinking that I had to undo and like learn here. Because the most recent like medium I've picked up prior to this was watercolors. And so applying color, just like laying things down, was building in very light layers. And then I lined that. So even here, it's like, okay, like I learned lining and then I, you know, progression, like lining, shading, color. And then even like in design world, I did appreciate you saying like simple, like think like a sticker. And I'm like, okay, so in my head, that means like think like a logo.
Right.
Because in graphic design, like if you're able to create a logo that's legible from afar, then you've created a strong, bold image.
Exactly.
And so a lot of the apprenticeship from what I was learning was trying to find tie-ins to like what you were explaining and then how can I connect that to what I know and apply that? Or how can I take what you're teaching me and then correct what I think I know and just completely demolish, like try to demolish that thoughts. But it's, I've seen like change in my drawings and like growth and stuff there. And that's been really encouraging and really exciting for me too, to see just how my drawings are changing.
Like, yeah, it's almost like they've kind of come into focus more, or they've found like a lot of refinement. I think you came in with a style, which is what everybody comes into tattooing
as
with.
As an artist,
this is just how I draw. When I sit down with my microns or whatever, this is the style that comes out. And then what maybe a lot of people don't know, and this is, you know, perhaps new news to people, is that like not every drawing can translate into a tattoo, nor should it, because maybe it won't fit the body properly, or it's too detailed, too busy. And so things need to be omitted and cleaned up and maybe spread out and reshaped, redo the composition just so that it fits well. And so, when you're talking about, I drew a lot of tattoos for friends, like, you're I'm like, curious, oh, like, God. What is that? Wonder what changed to maybe, and maybe, but then also there's some tattooers who are just like, they're not going to do any of that stuff. They're just going to make $100 and send you on your way.
They just did it. I think the sad thing too is some of them I would see and I'm like, that doesn't look, like it was sad. Like it doesn't look at all, but in a sad way, like I wish I could have helped you with that better. Sure. I don't know. Like,
interesting.
It didn't look very great.
Yeah.
So I'm like, where did you go? Did you go to the place I went to first?
And
the hole in the wall. Right. I don't know. Like, but that, that's been really a fun adventure for me, is like reshaping, relearning. I feel like it's art level 2.0. Like it's just next level. Like I could draw and do art, but it has to be a certain way so it can heal well and live well and have longevity tied to it for tattooing. So,
well, and the interesting thing that you still have to experience and look forward to is like, what do all the tattoos that you've been doing over the last year, what is that? What do they look like in 5 years and then 10 years? And some you're going to see and you're going to go,
that's it.
Some you're going to see and you're going to be like, oh my gosh, that is like, you're gonna be like pleasantly surprised, maybe. I don't, at least I am sometimes. See? Like, oh my gosh, that's awesome. Like, I'm glad that's still there. But that's just a self-esteem thing though too. So what was one of the hardest things for you to learn as far as when it comes to tattooing?
I think the confidence thing, like just drawing something and then showing it to someone to be like, hey, do you want this on you? I don't know, that that was a thing. I think when people, like when I started on skin with the flash and then them walking out the door, I remember being like, is this happening? Like, what the heck? But I think too, real, like there was a weight to that. Like, this is like serious. Like they're leaving.
Yeah.
right now with my like artwork on it. So I think I would, that was a lot of my like processing.
Sure. Like,
this isn't a small deal. This is a big deal.
Yeah.
And just trying to, I guess, to soak that in and take it seriously for every day that is ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
Just with my background, like touching males, I was like mortified. I still am like, okay, like have to, like, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really big hurdle for me, just even having the first couple male clients come in. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to touch them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was just with all the trauma that I've had in my past, like that was really scary.
Yes, I think that came up.
I didn't even think about it.
Right. I for sure didn't. And, you know, I know that Rhiannon probably.
She probably was like, I saw all this
going on. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, I was just like, oh, yeah, I guess that's a big bridge that you have to cross still. So what do you do? Yeah. And then, yeah. But, you know, also like understanding that and like, okay, let's just work it out, like figure out how to do that. And however it needs to be set up, and this is the times where you can do that, and we won't do this yet until you're more comfortable.
This is almost, again, like one of those things where, like, unintentionally it can be healing in a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I've had some emotional moments with that. I'm like, oh, I'm healing. Like, this is good. Like, being able to do this is a big deal for me, and I hope that encourages, like, when I am sitting down with women and doing a cover up with them, like, I hope that even just my being here and my story alone helps encourage them, or just anyone who's been through hard stuff. I think just knowing that there's another person that can go through it, and you don't have to let your fears consume you or overtake you, and you know, you can do the hard things if you're got the right people in your corner supporting you.
I think that's really like a big thing that I wish, I don't know, it's just kind of coming to me now, especially in this conversation, is just like looking at that and looking at all the times where I've had super deep conversations with clients where it's just like, dude, this is life stuff that we're talking about now. We're tattooing. That's it. Which is great, but and I think that just that there's that whole part of tattooing that can come with it if you're probably the right person that isn't an asshole, but you do care about people. But it's like, that's a big responsibility. I don't know that many people come into this. You kind of did, I think,
but I've worked with people just like in that, I don't know, in deep conversation spaces, maybe with the workshop.
Sure.
I don't know. Like,
yeah. But I think most people, when they come into tattooing, it's just like, oh, I just want to make a bunch of money. It's like, do you know what you're asking for?
Right.
Do you know what you're asking for? Because this is a, you know, aside from just like the basics of like, listen, we're working on the human,
it's a big
the
deal.
Biggest human, oh my gosh, the largest organ in the human body. Like, yeah, like that should be heavy and enough for people. But then, like sometimes you're going to maybe have to carry a person's weight a little bit just because they're going to dump the stuff on you, and you got to care about people enough to like, listen, maybe relate and, you know, have empathy with them and stuff. So I think that's cool. Like, you know, I can't even count as how many people have asked for apprenticeships just since we've opened in 8 years. 20, at least.
Wow.
And so the thing that I've learned is to ask, well, what's your why? Why do you want to do it? And the most common answer is like, well, it's just something I've always wanted to do. Well, that's cool, but I'm sure you've always wanted a red fast car too.
Like,
what does that even mean? Yeah, no, that's a midlife crisis. That came last year. So whenever Rhiannon came back and said that this is what you guys talked about, for me it was like, you get back in touch with her, because that is a, that's a strong enough why, because then it's like, well, you know, cool, that's like a really, really good reason for a person to get into tattooing.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's plenty of bad reasons and wrong reasons, and most people are getting into tattooing for those reasons. So like, well, one, on a business side, it's just like, wow, that's like a pretty big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you were like planning or thinking that it would turn into like a business for you or,
no,
or not, but
did not plan that or think it at all. I was like, well, we'll just see, like, mm-hmm. think this is the direction
yeah.
I need to go. And
but I think you can see though too, like, hopefully
now
it's
I
not
can.
Something that you just do on Sunday.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, no, this has to be continually cultivated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes years to mm-hmm. really get to the point where, you know, if you continue to pursue learning and achieving cover-ups, that can become like your mastery.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's people who need their brands covered up or just
mm-hmm. an old tattoo, maybe
the regular person who's coming in, it's like, I have this to offer,
right?
And that's really cool. But I think that's a strong why, and I think that was mm-hmm. pretty encouraging for me.
Yeah,
you know, when you came along,
I'm very pleased. Like, this has been always it's like the best surprise that my life, like, I didn't know I needed or wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like, I love it.
Do you remember then, I'm sure you do, mm-hmm. doing your first tattoo?
On myself or the one on Nick or which, I don't know.
I should say,
maybe the one that counts the most.
Yeah,
the one that counts the most.
Like, because it's probably different whenever it's like, yeah, you tattooed Nick, you tattooed yourself a bunch, tattooed myself a bunch, but it's like...
The one I did on myself, my ankle, I remember.
Like in a shop setting, under supervision. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different game.
Yeah.
I recall, even besides, like, that's a whole nother element. Just like the first time that I tattooed somebody else, and it was so anxiety filling because I was like, any and everything that I do right now, this person's gonna have on them for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm.
And they're watching.
And
too.
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Which is a good respect. That's a healthy. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good, healthy fear.
Yeah.
It's like, you're a little terrified
mm-hmm.
of this,
mm-hmm.
and that is a good thing.
Yeah,
like, mm-hmm. that's healthy.
So that one, so not myself, would be the little bee I did
mm-hmm.
on my friend from mm-hmm. high school,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, "I've been waiting for you to do this." I'm like, "What? Like, I don't know how this is gonna go."
Yeah,
I did the one on my ankle, and that was hard because I had to put my foot like up here and I'm like upside down.
We have pictures of it. It's like, oh, that was...
Don't hold the machine like that. It's upside down. Like, it'll go, the ankle go back. I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So I knew it would be better than that because that was like, I had to contortion myself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was nervous. I mean, thankfully for me, it was somebody I knew
mm-hmm.
and she was very reassuring. Like, it's felt like she's had lots of tests.
Awesome.
She's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, she knows.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She could probably feel like, oh, mm-hmm. sweating. Can you smell me? I don't know. A little bee on her knee by a flower, I think is what I did. And nice. I got to do that bee, I think it was like four or five times.
So what was our process doing that? Like, okay, you tattooed yourself. That's the rite
yes.
of passage.
Yep.
And now we let you loose on the public. What is, people. Again, just kind of when people don't know what that looks like on this end of things, what did we do? How did we do that?
I drew 50 drawings.
Yep.
A little flash. Those are fun. Some of them were challenging, but I think the first set was like, I always describe this weird, the alphabet.
Oh, yeah.
Tying a letter to each,
or
an image to each letter of the alphabet.
That's right. I forgot we did that.
So that was 26, so many letters.
Yeah, 20-something.
I think so.
It's my...
what did you do for Z?
It's a fruit. Is it?
I would have done a xylophone.
It was like an Asian fruit. Yeah. What is it called?
Or a zebra.
Yeah.
I would have done a zebra. Easy, just a bunch of black.
Yeah. No, the yuzu, that's a fruit. That was why.
Oh,
I think I didn't do a zebra because I remember I... did flashcards. I was like, I did the zebra for the flashcards. Oh. I don't want to do it again. Zen bonsai or something. Or I think I
that
like
starts with a B, but anyhow.
I was like Zen dash bonsai. I think that's what I did.
So you had to draw those.
Draw those, and then I did a whole 25 more, and then I made my first flash sheets. And that was even like I overthought that process. Mm-hmm. That's a graphic design. I'm like, mm-hmm. What size do I use? What's this? I think I asked you like, what's the stroke width for the line work? That's something you said as a designer. Like, and he's like, stroke doesn't mean the same. I'm like, oh yeah. Like that thinking I had to undo.
Because
In my Illustrator program for Creative Suite, you lay a line and then the stroke width changes the width of the line. So I'm like, oh yeah, okay. That doesn't mean the same as the stroke on the tattoo machine.
Interesting.
So I drew those. Laid them out, printed them, and then we got to share them. And then how many free ones?
10
free ones. And then the people came. And it was stressful.
Yeah, how was that?
That like, was like, oh my gosh,
told you,
one day.
Just buckle up.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
Yeah, so when you offer free tattoos, it was just like,
yeah.
Yeah, I think you just.
My phone just like. Emails are going off, but I like to try to plan. I'm a planner, so I like set my website up in a way where I knew I could try to control it as much as I could. And
crowd control.
It worked. Like, and I still use the same system that I laid down for that on my website. So, and just I think each person just. I hope you know this is free for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm definitely. Doing, really. Like, I kind
of
do.
And a lot of those people were collectors. So, yeah, they knew. They just like, and that's why I was like your one friend. I'm like,
and they were also encouraging, too. I think that was the other part of the scary was, like, I didn't know what to expect with the interactions either. Like, are they cool with this? Am I right? Is this okay? But they came knowing, and a lot of the people that came in, at least for me, like had tattoos already. They're super encouraging.
Yeah.
And just kind of like, cheers, like, way to go.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
Yeah. And some have been back.
Yeah.
For more work.
It's encouraging.
Yeah.
And then we like incremented, you know, I think it was $50.
Yeah. So then the second 10 was $50. Third 10 was 100,
I believe.
100 flat.
Yep.
If it took you 5 hours,
didn't matter.
$100.
I did it.
But you had made pretty good progress. So you were actually like, I feel like kind of in the black on a lot of those. It was like, okay, this is.
With the 100 ones?
Yeah.
Because I think
it matched up real well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was.
With the time it was taking you to accomplish.
Yeah, I remember you saying efficient. I'm like.
yeah, be efficient.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will. I can do this. And those, I think, were mostly line.
Yeah.
Simple, but some of the free ones I did play with some shading too.
Yep.
And that was cool. Like seeing it happen and come to life, like, was really exciting because I'm like, oh, man. Like, it's not perfect and it's not like the greatest thing in the world, but for me, it was. I'm kind of proud. Like, I did that. Like, I can't believe I put this in their skin. Right. This is on their body. But that's when the weight would come and they'd leave. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I put this on their body and they're leaving with this. And they're going to go home and they're going to sleep with it. Like, this is nuts. Yeah. And I still feel like that sometimes. Like,
really?
They're still leaving with that. Like, oh, that's crazy. But I think today it's like, how do I put this towards? It's like, this is for real. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, like a sobering moment, like a just like being mindful of like, this is serious. Like, this is a big deal. Like, they just paid good money to put my artwork. It's honoring maybe. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what I'm like. Oh, like, I feel honored, but oh my, like there's, a seriousness to it. Mm-hmm. So.
There's a weight to it. There's like a gratitude.
Yeah.
I've always said like it's one thing to be able to sell a print and it'll hang on a wall, but this tattoo I'm giving you will go all over the world.
Yeah.
And it'll eventually die. Yeah. Like, and that's great. But it'll still last. It'll still be there until the skin is gone.
Yeah.
Which I don't even know if that happens because of embalming. Mm. Let's talk embalming.
I don't know. There's a guy on Instagram I follow.
Is he embalmed?
He's an embalmerist. I don't know what they call them. I don't know. But he answers all the questions. Mm-hmm. People just shoot him questions, and then he does little videos of answers. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating.
Yeah. So it could last forever.
Super out of pocket. But I saw, actually this morning, I was sitting in my car outside of here, mm-hmm. scrolling Instagram a little bit, and I saw a photo of, he was in Japan, and this doctor that was preserving these Japanese tattooers, and he would, these people would tell him they could do it and cut their skin off.
Yes.
And it was like a photo that Ed Hardy took when he was in Japan of this doctor holding this, massive bodysuit that somebody.
How do you?
I mean, he was beautiful,
that?
But it was. So,
it has to be from Albert.
Like, it was so beautiful, but so weird.
So wrong.
Yeah.
We can do that. Okay. Wow. Does it save? Do they save it? Does it turn to leather? I'm what do they do?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Crazy.
So where are you at now in your tattooing? You've been here. How long have you been tattooing?
I'm a baby. Yeah. I'm a baby, guys. just a wee one. So I started on skin. Was it January last year?
I think so. So it's been almost a year that you've been.
Yeah, on
tat gatting.
Skin. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We call it ink slinging.
not long. So. Yeah, just about a year, and I finished the apprenticeship hours, mm-hmm. the logged hours in August. But
how many hours do you have to do for people who don't know?
200. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, I did 200.
So before it used to be 100 hours, mm. and that you could watch DVDs, or you could watch a person tattoo. And that would
count that.
And that would count. And then so when they quadrupled our fees, and then that was also a change. But I think that's a good change. 200 hours. But
that went by fast, though.
I know. I was gonna say some people.
We need to do more.
But when you can commit, when you can mm-hmm. be here frequently, mm-hmm. I can't imagine somebody who can only do it on a Saturday or so it might take you a little bit, but mm-hmm. we can figure it out, but it might not, because maybe that's really going to be when the rubber hits the road. It's mm-hmm. either this is going to take you a while or you're going to tattoo Saturday and Sunday, mm-hmm. which means that's when I have to work. So it is such a blessing when it's okay, God, you're done. I can just leave you here.
Yeah.
But that's what I sign up for too. Right. Again, I take apprenticing people serious because I want to infuse the tattoo world and community with people who care, people who are reverent for it, people who care about people. Mm-hmm. And who aren't just going to treat the craft like it's a part-time hobby thing. And, even though the hours.
Craft night.
Yeah, like craft night, like paint and sip or whatever.
Yeah.
No. That's just me continuing to want to pay my dues.
Mm-hmm. And that's very, I think that shows a lot how much you care about the industry. I've talked mm-hmm. to other apprentices before who've we've talked about where they're like, yeah, dude, my mentor just dragged me around and didn't give a shit about me. And it's why did you even take somebody on in the first place?
Yeah.
Money. But you want to see people succeed, which is important.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's trust me, that money goes away a lot faster than the time that I have to commit and mm-hmm. putting in. I'm not living on any apprentice money to this day.
No. Right.
And I don't. It literally goes into the business. Mm-hmm. And
I won't put the numbers out there, but I divvied up, versus the hours. And I'm this is a gift. You should be getting more. I've never thought of doing that.
So I appreciate that.
I'll show you the numbers.
No, I can do them already. And okay. I'm like, shit, you're right.
Yeah, I did. Well, and I'm like, you should get more for this.
Well,
yeah.
And the thing is, if it doesn't matter, if it's not tattooing, it's going to see, you're paying for good education.
Well, and everything like, the wisdom and knowledge that's poured into him. I think one of the questions was like, what influences? I'm like, well, my sphere is small. It's you and I, but everything that has been like your whole history, like the legacy that you're pouring into us.
I put the question on there of like, who influences you? And I was thinking about that too. And I was like, I think my like favorite tattooers are people that you've showed me and people that Nye showed me. I totally get what you mean.
But then it's like you trust because we're trusting them. So we trust that what they're sharing is what we should be looking at and receiving. Right?
I guess I never thought of that either. To me, that's just, that comes like naturally, like, oh my God, you have to follow Tom Strom, because if you don't, one, you just need to know the name, or you're going to be an embarrassment to this community. Two, are you kidding me? Like, look at what he does, and if you can even remotely figure out anything he does, you'll be 10 steps ahead of all of us. But then it is, it's just like, kind of like, well, yeah, because I don't have to do that, and I can just keep you into like this vacuum, but that would do nobody any good. And it's just like, look at these incredible people who a lot of really, really, really good tattooers are inspired by. Like, let's plug you into those people because the goal is that you become those really, really, really good tattooers who 15 years from now, you're like, you ever heard Tom Strom? Hopefully he's still tattooing them, but
I'll be like, you know what, actually, yes. And I followed him on Instagram and I like his stuff because it's really cool.
Awesome. What do you say, I mean, what is your like favorite thing about tattooing? Obviously you come here, you get to chat, you get to do tattoos, you get to do your art, but like, what makes you want to do this for as long as you can, you know?
I mean, creating like with purpose. That's just always been something. Everything I touch, I want to create with purpose. And and I think our nonprofit is creating with purpose, you know. But then here I'm like, I'm not just doing it in nonprofit stuff. It's now infused into my everyday life. And that, I think that's like what I mean by surprise, like the thing I didn't know I needed or wanted. Like, I get to draw all the time. I get, and that's like a sharpening of your mind. Like, you have to be able to problem solve and figure things out. And I love that. So the fact that I'm drawing, like I've told my husband over years, I wish I could draw more. Like, but I always felt like I needed to have a purpose to draw, and I just couldn't find what it was.
Sure, I get that. Or like, nobody's commissioning me, so I'm, you know, like, I don't really have to do the thing.
I wouldn't. I got commissions, but I just, there wasn't like a big. I don't know. Like, sure, I can draw a picture of like your home or your dog, but. And I would love to put that on a person, but it's like, it seems so much more meaningful now. Like, I don't know. Like, everybody, like, maybe it's because people, and I'm thinking out loud, maybe it's because like when people want a tattoo, they know they really, this is something they really thought about and considered and they really want. And whereas our walls are less, in our home, are less important than our bodies.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it for sure.
So I love that I get to draw, and I am very social. So just like you, just talking with people, being with people, and I'm a mom. So having like a space that I can come to where I'm not being needed is, I guess, in some aspect, I don't you know, like,
I don't know.
It's that's been a great joy and just a good place for me, for my own well-being. Just to be able to step outside and just be, I'm like, I'm here. This is where I'm at.
Awesome. That's good. And if, what's the best way for somebody to get a hold of you for, if they want to inquire about tattoos or commissions or prints or whatever?
Or your organization.
Or your organization. Yeah, we'll put that information up for sure.
So our nonprofit is called Remade, and we're under remadeformore.org. And you can check the website out. It's got all the information on, like, we have more than those two programs I talked about. So if you want to look into more, you can. And then my website, annafrent.com, you can look at my work there and you can request a booking, or you can just do the contact form to email me. So awesome. Websites, it's easy and simple.
Yeah.
Keeps it clean.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Do you have anything that you want to say or talk about?
I think I just am like, for people listening and hearing kind of how I ended up in here, I want to just really reiterate, like, I know that my being in the tattoo world now is like, there's so much gratitude, like, that I can't even express in words of how grateful I am for this opportunity. Cause I know now that so many people have fought like tooth and nail, and I know how, you know, just your journey and how you, even listening to Nye's podcast, like this was really tough. And so, I think just like knowing that the connection that was built through Rhiannon is like, there's so much deep gratitude there, and I see and understand and appreciate that. Cause I now know and am aware of like how difficult this can be and just how much work it is, which I'm willing to put in, but you know,
Well, and I think from a client's perspective, that's the type of person they should be looking for, because again, there's so many people who get into tattooing for the wrong reasons. And, you know, I guess that's the other point of the podcast is like, if we could, you know, reach people who never thought just by watching a tattoo podcast that there's like, oh, I know somebody that I should put in contact with you because of this. That's huge, but it's also just to say, hey, there are genuinely people who care. And with that, you're going to get the best tattoo that they could possibly do. And that's worth a lot. And if I could have it my way, I'd burn down every other shop that didn't think that way. And the 15 in the whole state that think this way would remain standing. And then we'd all be really busy, and everybody would get a kick-ass tattoo.
Yeah, I think everybody.
I was just gonna say the $1,200 sandwich.
I think everybody in 2025 should stop getting treated like shit and stop getting shitty tattoos.
Yeah, if that's your new resolution,
put it on a t-shirt.
You're gonna go get treated like shit by this guy and then get a shitty tattoo.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Or even if you get a good tattoo and then you're treated like shit,
that's
equally as bad.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, so we have people who care here. And I think, just by, you know, knowing how busy Nye is, and again, like kind of going back to that one, just he's a very liked person because he's respectful and his why is good. Like he's got he cares about people. Obviously you're here because you were caring about people already, and now then this just kind of was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. Like
deeper, yeah.
So that's incredible.
Yeah. I'm happy to be here.
We're happy to have
and
you.
And I'm grateful that you teach me and show, like, always learning. And as long as
never
you're
stops.
Around, I want to keep picking your brain.
Well, if I'm never, ever not around, you follow a bunch of people on Instagram.
We don't have to talk about that. We'll see you all there. It's fine.
Awesome.